Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Medical Advantage podcast series. On this week's episode, we've put together an audio version of Medical Advantage's webinar with Alcona Health Center. In this webinar, we sat down with Alcona's Caitlin Schlappi to discuss how Medical Advantage was able to assist their FQHC with their specific EHR and telehealth needs. This conversation was part of a larger webinar series, so to watch this and previous episodes, visit our website at medicaladvantage.com or just sit back, relax, and enjoy the audio version of this webinar. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone. My name is Selena Dussault, and on behalf of everybody here at Medical Advantage Group, I would like to welcome you to our webinar today on the Alcona Health Center and the NextGen EHR. Before we get started here, let me introduce our presenters. Today, we are joined by Caitlin Schlappi, our special guest, a member of the team at Alcona Health Center, an FQHC with many locations across Northern Michigan. We are also joined by Julie Chiesa. She's a member of the Medical Advantage Group team, and she is our lead NextGen consultant. For years, Julie has worked one-on-one with practices, optimizing their EHR platform, as well as supporting telehealth technology. Myself and Bill are members of the marketing team here.
All right. Thanks, Selena. So before we dive in, just a little bit about Medical Advantage Group, who we are. We're part of the Doctors Company, which is now the largest physician-owned medical malpractice insurer in the country with a presence in all 50 states. TDC now consists of several business units, most of which are primarily focused on medical malpractice insurance products or patient safety-related products. Medical Advantage Group is the business unit specifically focused on working directly with practices. We provide a range of consulting services at the point of care, doing whatever it takes to help the practice or the clinic, the center, be successful. If we look at our services in a little more detail, they really fall into two categories, practice transformation and the EHR services we're going to talk mostly about today. In terms of practice transformation, it's really just based on whatever the needs of the practice might be, whether it's clinical, financial, or office management opportunities, proper use of technology within the practice. We have some contracts directly with practices or health centers, including those increasingly those that are backed by private equity firms. We also work with payers to engage practices within the payers network, perhaps on behalf of the insurance company. We have relationships with several healthcare technology vendors, population health companies, data analytics vendors, in particular EHR software companies, where in effect we become an extension of their professional services team, just making things happen at the point of care. From an EHR services standpoint, like I said, this is where we'll focus most of our attention today with Caitlin and Julie. I think we all know the critical role of the EHR within any practice or specialty. There's always an opportunity to help practices improve, whether that's staff training or streamlining, simplifying the interface, you know, fewer clicks, fewer buttons for common operations, making sure the data is flowing correctly from progress note all the way through to claims and billing, such that practices are getting credit for the good work they're doing. Telehealth, especially of late, is an area where we're spending a lot of time, and this is something we're going to talk about in more detail shortly. NextGen, in addition to NextGen, also eClinical Works, Allscripts, and Greenway are the major ambulatory EHR platforms that we support. Okay. So with that, let's get to our content for today. So again, Caitlin, Julie, thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't we start just by talking about Alcona, who you guys are, what you do, who you serve. Why don't we start there?
Okay, so Alcona Health Center, we are an FQHC in Northern Michigan. We have 17 actual sites across Northern Michigan. We have medical, we offer walk-in services, we have dental, behavioral health, care management. We have behavioral health in 20 schools actually in Northern Michigan. So we a little bit of everything, a little bit of everywhere as far as Northern Michigan goes. So that's the gist.
Okay, great. And then can you tell us about your role at the center? I understand you're an RN by training, but what are you responsible for?
I am. So I'm an RN. My background is clinical, obviously, but I work in the health information department. So our department is all things EMR. My role specifically is the EMR coordinator. So I am all things EMR, whether it's training, workflows, simplifying and streamlining templates, that sort of thing. I'm all things EMR, and that's what our department does, is we train new hires on the EMR and do all the background work as well.
Okay. And speaking of that, you are on the NextGen platform. Can you talk a little bit about how long you've been on that software?
Sure. Yeah, we went live with NextGen in the beginning of September. So about 10 months now. Still feels very new. It takes a long time to learn an EMR front to back. And it still feels very new, but we've been on it for about 10 months and it's getting, we're learning more every day.
Very good. So, Julie, from your perspective, I know you have a way of looking at next-gen clients. So maybe can you share your thoughts on, you know, from folks that are fairly new on the platform versus those that have been on it a while?
Yeah. So what I find in a practice like Alcona is that really they just don't know what they don't know. NextGen has a great training department where, you know, when you first get the software, you go on site or they come to you and they do a lot of training. But then when it's done, it's done. And NextGen has, you know, there's a lot of bells and whistles. And until folks have someone that has an expertise, it's a lot of like learning on your own. So what I find with smaller practices or not practices that have been on for less time is that really it's more of a question answer and teaching them what they don't know, as opposed to an older practice or practice had NextGen for years and years, where they've done a lot of customizations, they've done a lot of configuration, and now they go, they want to upgrade or they want to do something else, and they need someone to help them sort of scale back into the program and how it actually works.
Very good. Very good. And that's really, I think, one of the real features or differentiators of the next gen platform. We see there seems to be a range, right? Where next gen is very flexible, very customizable. It's a platform where you can really tailor it to the specific workflow needs and the staff needs within a center, all the way to the other extreme where, you know, other platforms we work with are very locked down and there's very little opportunity for that. So Caitlin, why don't we start with your scenario? Before you met Julie, what was going on? What were some of the challenges or issues that you were facing?
So before we met Julie, we were beginning to implement telehealth. So this is when COVID hit and we were like, okay, we really need to jump on this telehealth bandwagon and serve these patients. So as far as figuring that out, we can handle that. But as far as what to do in the EMR, we were a little lost. you need certain consents documented and certain codes to go with other codes on the super bill. And we were like a little lost. And then Julie came in and gave us a telehealth template for our providers to document on, and then helped us customize it specifically to what we needed. A lot of what we need can be different because we're an FQHC. So what we need as far as billing and even documentation can be completely different from what the practice down the road needs, you know? So we have a lot of customization requests. And so Julie gave us this little telehealth pop-up where literally all of the documentation for a telehealth visit could be done in this one little screen. And that was huge. That was huge for us. The codes went, the documentation was done, the note was generated, and it was all from one nice little streamlined screen, no extra clicks. So we were really struggling with what to do. We just didn't know where to start. And then Julie came in and saved the day with her telehealth template.
So great. Thank you, Caitlin. So Julie, from your perspective, as you first met Caitlin and the team, you know, what were you seeing?
Well, yeah. So, you know, telehealth, you know, the way it's kind of gone down so quickly, you know, I think none of the EHR vendors were that prepared. So it's not like NextGen's had an upgrade where they could provide a lot of these clicks and consents and things that that are available. And if a practice chooses not to use their telehealth arm, like Alcona, who's using Zoom, I think, right? Are you using Zoom for healthcare? You know, there's some documentation pieces that need to happen that are not as automated. So I had created a template for MAG to be able to distribute to our practices. And again, it is very portable. So I found that the Alcona folks, they knew what they needed. They just didn't know how to implement it. So in giving them this piece, this starting piece, we were able to all kind of jump off at the same time and figure out how it would work best for them.
Very good. Yeah. So I think we hear this so often where practices go into telehealth thinking or fearing that just getting the technology to work, getting video calls with patients for virtual visits, you know, making that happen consistently. Wow, that's the hard part. But I think so often we find there's all this other surround in terms of, you know, pre-visit consent forms and integration with the patient note that represents a lot of work as well. Okay, very good. So, Julie or Caitlin, can you talk a little bit more about just some of the specific things, maybe just the next level of detail around forms or you know, questionnaires or, you know, other things that you did?
Yeah. So, for example, there are certain codes that we had to have attached to other CPT codes per payer. So that was something that we were like, oh, boy, where do we even start with this? Is this going to happen in the back or can we do it with one click on the template? So we actually have there is a G code that needs to go for every Medicare claim. So Julie showed us how to pull in that G code. So it will go per payer so we can pick exactly what payer. And this is all on the template. This isn't in the background. This is, you know, manipulated by us. We can change this if it needs to be changed. So that's one specific example. Another example is just a simple, like a checkbox that indicates that the patient gave consent for a virtual visit. Things like that, that pull in the actual platform that we're using. So like Julie said, we're using Zoom. So when the provider clicks that consent box, it will say, you know, the patient consents to using the Zoom platform for audio, video, whatever. So those are some specific examples. More recently, this telehealth thing is, you know, ever changing, never ending. So, which is great. It's great. It's a great way for us to serve our patients, but there's a lot that changes, especially with payers. So just yesterday, this is a really great example. We wanted certain codes to show on this telehealth template, again, based on payer. So they would only be available to select when the payer was Medicare. We thought we had it, but we couldn't quite get it. So we have a little joke when we get stuck and we always say 1-800-CALL-JULIE. So we send Julie a quick email and sure enough, you know, an hour later we were on the phone and we had it all fixed up in 20 minutes. So she walked us through how to do it. So it made sense that we were almost there. But yeah, so there are a lot of little specific things like that that change on a monthly, sometimes it feels like daily basis, that are specific to us that Julie has helped with.
Very good. So Julie, from your perspective, how receptive did you find the team at Alcona to, you know, because again, here's another example where we've had a wide range of some practices are very proactive and moving very quickly with telehealth. Others can be a little bit more resistant. So what did you find with Alcona?
Well, Alcona knew what they needed. They knew what they wanted. They just didn't know how to do it. You know, they didn't know how to get there. And I found that, I mean, they're super receptive. They come with ideas. They know what they want to do. They understand the limitations or lack thereof limitations in NextGen. And they come to me with, you know, how can we do this? Or in the example from yesterday, you know, it was a simple show hide trigger that would show certain codes at certain for certain payers and hide certain codes when it wasn't, or a phone versus a video visit. And they had taken it to the 99-yard line. They knew what they were doing in building it. They just couldn't get it. They couldn't get it exactly the way they wanted. And I just came in and took it over the finish line for them. And really, again, they knew what they were doing. They just needed a little bit of instruction on, you know, the programming language behind the scenes.
That's great. And especially just hearing what you did with the specific CPT codes by payer. I know a lot of people are struggling with that. Earlier this spring, we hosted any number of webinars talking about telehealth best practices, telehealth technology, telehealth billing and coding. And no matter what the session was, overwhelmingly, we got the most questions around coding and proper coding, proper documenting. So it sounds like you guys have automated a lot of that, Caitlin, right?
Yeah, we're looking at it from the financial class. So in NextGen, things are, you know, putting commercial or workers' comp and Medicare. So we're actually, you know, we took it, we loaded the financial class to load in the background of the template. And that's sort of how it talks to the template and lets it know, okay, when I click this, make this happen. When I click that, make that happen. So we've been able to really make it very specific to the Medicare payers, as well as being able to send over the appropriate modifiers when necessary, mm-hmm. because obviously some payers, you know, require a 95, some payers don't. So we've been able to program it all the way down. So again, at the end user level, doctors just click it. I did a telehealth visit. They're doing their documentation. They're clicking. It was 15 to 20 minutes and they're sending that code over and everything's happening in the background that Caitlin and her team want to happen.
Yeah. So essentially on some telehealth visits, you can have 2 to 3 codes, each with a different modifier. And the way that Julie was able to help us set it up is when that provider clicks submit code, they all go. Every single one, the modifier, the code, so nobody has to worry about it. So that's been, so you can imagine on the user end of things, that's such a relief for our clerical staff, our billing staff, our providers, you know, they don't have to think about that.
Yeah, that was actually going to be my next question. So, you know, what's the result about all this? You know, what was there a learning curve or, you know, training that people had to go through, and you know, how's that worked since?
Yeah, with the telehealth template specifically, we rolled out telehealth since we have 17 locations and, you know, a limited number of people in our department. We rolled it out kind of site by site. So we did a day or two at one or two sites and made sure we knew what we were doing, and then we rolled it out to everybody else. So there was a little bit of training, but honestly not a lot, because a lot of the things in the template that Julie built mirror what's located in other places in NextGen. So it was more streamlined. There wasn't a huge learning curve because they were still documenting in the same pop-ups or the same templates. It was just consolidated, so they didn't have to go all over the place, if that makes sense. So that again made it so much easier because we didn't have to, you know, being so spread out, sometimes training can be really difficult, you know, on new templates or things. So that made it a lot easier that the providers who tend to pick up quickly on those things had no problem at all.
Great. And now, Caitlin, had you guys already been doing telehealth visits and then they increased or?
Yeah, so we've done telehealth for years a little bit differently. We've done it and we have behavioral health providers where the patient actually comes to our office and sees a behavioral health provider in like Ann Arbor. So it's a little bit different in that we can use different platforms and things because it's all within our own Alcona site since the patient is here on site. So it was a little bit different. So the actual, for lack of a better word, real telehealth, where, you know, the patient's in their home and the provider's here was a little bit, it was just a step up from what we were doing.
Okay, great. So any other, in terms of results, anything else, Julie or Caitlin, that you want to mention in terms of, you know, we talked about the staff and their receptivity, maybe the physicians, maybe patients, you know, any other feedback to share?
I mean, go ahead, Caitlin.
Oh, no, go ahead, Julie, you're good.
I was just going to say, you know, I think the streamlining of it from the end user perspective also goes all the way through the billing department. So we are programming it on the EHR side. You know, the EHR team is saying, okay, this would have to happen when this happens and that happens. And that crosses over to billing and kind of takes a lot of work out of their day in having to, A, either, you know, manually code, which, gosh, we don't want to do that, and also kind of takes the errors out of it. And we're, you know, the billing staff really just has to go kind of confirm that the documentation meets what somebody sends as opposed to kind of having to do all that. So in addition to sort of helping the EMR people, we're helping the practice management people as well just by doing some of these tweaks.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so why don't we talk about, we've got any number of, I think we have a mix of folks on the line, just looking at the current folks who've signed in, a mix of next-gen practices as well as some FQHCs. So Caitlin, from your sense, is there, are there any lessons learned or any free advice if you had to do this all over again, things that you might do differently or, you know, suggestions that you could offer?
I guess, you know, my biggest suggestion would be, as simple as it sounds, ask for help. This COVID thing is, I think, has taught us all that, you know, this is uncharted territory and we're all kind of in it together trying to get through it day by day, take care of our patients, keep our employees and our providers safe. And telehealth has allowed us to do that. So we didn't know, we were confused, didn't know what we were doing, and we asked for help, and it has been just tremendous. I don't know what we would have done, really. I mean, it would have been so much more work, honestly, on the back end of things with billing, like Julie was saying, because, you know, these changes go from the EHR all the way up to the clerical side, all the way through to the billing side. So my biggest suggestion is ask for help. And if you don't know, that's all right. Ask for help. You know, if your EMR is kind of formattable like NextGen is, and you're just not quite sure how to get there, ask for help and get it done.
Very good. And Julie, any thoughts for, you know, practices like Caitlin that have been on the platform for?
Yeah, you know, they are so receptive to learning. You know, they really want to know the product. And I am of the school of teaching folks how to fish. I think we at MAG want to meet people where they are. We don't want to come in and say, do this, this, and this, and then they just kind of answer. In the case of Alcona, they're like a perfect client because they come with a list. They know what they need. They sort of know how to do it, but they want some advice on how to do it. And they would rather kind of make the attempt to do it themselves and have me come in and, you know, for lack of a better term, bat cleanup on what they've done. And, you know, I find that, I find that the collaboration between us really is very special. And, you know, I love clients, again, that kind of come in with a mission and want to understand how to do it, not just what to do.
Yeah, we're all about being independent. So it's sometimes it takes us, you know, an hour of looking at something and then we're like, all right, Julie, could I have this done? And by the way, we need to just ask. We've hit the wall. We need to ask for help. But yeah, we're very willing to learn. We want to know how to do it ourselves. And that's what's great about working with Julie too, is she walks you through step by step what she's doing and why. And why it works this way and not this way, you know? So in the world of triggers and getting all of the coding right in the triggers, it can be a little much. It can be it's a brain overload sometimes, but she walks it through. So we know how to do it after we get off the call with her, which is really great.
Right. So, you know, some practices we go in and we do the work, right? They assign us a project and we do the work and we kind of do it independently and we come back to them when it's done. With Alcona, I'm actually doing the work on screen and explaining the why and explaining, okay, this trigger works like this because of this, or it works like that because of that. And, you know, it really is, it works really well. And I think, again, it works for them in learning. They're getting training, not where you kind of come to a class and someone says, okay, click this to do this. They're bringing me their real world problems, what their issues are. And then I'm helping them to come up with best practice, as well as how do we solve this? Do we have to do a template edit? Is this something that's configurable? Is there something in the EHR that already does what you're looking to do? Because again, I call the EHR is like our brain, right? We use 10% of our brains. I feel the same way about the EHR, you know, especially when you've got a multi-specialty situation like Caitlin does. You know, sometimes folks don't know that, hey, you know what, they're already doing this on the GI templates. You've just never looked at that before. So let's go pop into GI and let me show you this functionality and then we could retrofit it into your workflow. So I think that that's a big part of it as well.
Okay, great. As we start to wrap up here, why don't we take a couple questions? Selena, can you... let us know if we've had any questions come in.
We sure have. Thank you to everybody that has submitted questions so far. And Julie and Caitlin, thank you so much for sharing everything that you have. One here to start for Caitlin. So we're an FQHC in Ohio. We've had some issues getting telehealth to work consistently. Can you share any tips that made it successful with your staff and patients in terms of the technology working consistently and getting your staff to buy in?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, we kind of started with one or two sites. So our sites are spread all over. And that's kind of a model that we've followed with some other rollouts that we've done where we call them our classic sites and our northern sites. So where we choose, you know, one of each and start slow, but not too slow. So we give them a day or two so we, you know, can internally work out the kinks and see what works and what doesn't, and then disperse. So I would say, you know, give yourself a cushion, and also make sure that you have something, make sure you have a plan for your EMR, you know, so you don't want to say, okay, we're going to use Zoom and we have that, and then get on your telehealth call and be like, well, what now, you know, and have your providers free texting and consent and crazy things like that. So have a plan, but also be flexible, be willing to roll with the punches.
Excellent. Thank you. And we have a couple of questions here regarding the next gen upgrades. So Caitlin, somebody asked, it's interesting to hear that your staff is starting to take on some of the next gen updates. Can you talk a bit about the backgrounds of the staff performing this work? Is it IT and technical or clinical?
It's a little bit of both. So everybody who does anything with templates specifically, like Julie and I have been speaking to, we don't necessarily have an IT background. Like I'm a nurse, and Andrea, who I work with closely, my colleague, her and I are the main ones who do templates. She's been in the health information department. So we don't necessarily have like an IT background. We do have an EMR background specifically. So the way that our departments are set up is we have our information systems and then our health information, and we work really closely together, but we work specifically in the EMR. So actually, no, there's really not a lot of IT background. We're just learning from Julie.
That is awesome. Good for you guys. And this one's for Julie. So can you share any thoughts on upgrading to the latest big release of NextGen and some of the concerns regarding the loss of custom templates?
Sure. So as a lot of NextGen folks know or don't know, there's an update that coming down the pike, and there's a more recent update where the back end is changing, the architecture is changing. They're changing from the KBM model, which was our knowledge based model, which was our really open source template system, to what they're calling the ACE content, which is a much the interface is gorgeous, but it's going to be a little bit more locked down. So folks are a little concerned. What's going to happen to my custom templates? How am I going to work this? I've done so much. And what we're doing and what I'm doing at MAG is really to help folks to figure out what they can still use, because some of it is going to be more configurable. It's not that they're locking the whole thing down and you're never going to be able to do anything again. It's just, how do we work smarter? How do we work so that we're future casting and that we can say, okay, when we take spring release in 2021, how is this going to work when we get to spring release and this particular template is locked down to edits? I also know from, just from listening and on some webinars, that NextGen may be coming up with a tool to allow us to edit or to be able to manipulate that content a little bit more. So I think it's kind of ever changing, even on the in the NextGen side. But right now, the thing that I tell most folks is, take an inventory of what you've done. Make sure you have really good change management documentation. And then we can come in and gap and say, okay, NextGen solved this issue. You built this 4 years ago, not in the case of Caitlin, but you built this particular template X amount of years ago. NextGen has this now. So let's sunset yours and start to use NextGen's functionality and see where we need to tweak. And again, building things that what I call portable development, where we know we're going to be able to bring it into that next version and the next version and the next version, without a lot of impact.
Excellent. Thank you, Julie. And we do have a few more questions here, but in the interest of time, we're going to wrap up with the Q&A. Anybody that has submitted questions that we didn't get to today, I promise we will be reaching out one-on-one to be sure that all of those are answered for you.
All right. Thanks, Selena. So as we sign off, just a couple quick points. First, the blog section of the Medical Advantage Group website, where we're publishing quite a lot of content specific to EHR best practices, next-gen opportunities. It's typically 1 to 2 times a week. We're putting up new content from members of our team, such as Julie and beyond. All right. So with that, Caitlin, on behalf of Julie, Selena, and I, we really want to thank you for joining us today, sharing your thoughts. Thanks a lot.
Of course.
Thanks for listening into some of the key points from our webinar discussing our work with Alcona Health Center. To view the full webinar, additional entries in the series, and further resources regarding Medical Advantage's in-practice technology service offerings, please visit our website at medicaladvantage.com. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com and make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.